Thank you very much. It is November 2nd, 2017, about 5:36 p.m. on the West Coast, and I call to order the PNB special meeting. Mr. Secretary, please take roll.
Okie dokie. All right. So, Grace Hammond?
Here.
Grace is here. Jonathan Alexander?
Here.
Okay, Alexander is here. David Beeson? Okay. Jim Brown?
I'm here.
Brown is here. Adriana Kesev?
Present.
Okay, Adriana is here. Bill Crozier?
Here.
Crozier is here. Catherine Davis? Not here. Benita Diaz?
Present.
Diaz is here. Ron Lugano? Not on. Okay. Jan Goodman?
I'm here.
Goodman is here. Here. Sabrina Jacobs? Sabrina Jacobs. Give it back to you. Ken Walther?
Here.
Dolph is here. Robert Mark? Okay. Thank you. Serene Roberts? Serene?
Present.
Okay, present. Roberts is present. Mansour Sabat?
Hazir.
Mansour is here. PM Skrug had an excused absence. Nancy Sullivan?
Here.
Okay, Sullivan is here. Alex Steinberg? Not here yet. Tanaka is here. Temba? Temba Shibanda?
Hello.
Temba? Okay, Temba is here.
Hello.
Andre Turner? Oh, Sabina is here. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Andrea is not here yet. Muscular?
Present.
Okay, Muscular is here. All right.
All right, thank you very much, Mr. Secretary. I need to need two volunteers for timekeepers, one for the items
the
and one for the speakers.
I do the individual.
Okay, we got Munz for the individuals and Aki for the items. Are there any excused absences?
I'm sorry, Chair.
Only one I got is from PM Squiggs so far.
Okay. Ms. Roberts?
Someone's got an echo situation.
When do you hear it?
Sorry?
Do you hear it when everybody speaks or when one person speaks?
I'm not hearing it when you're speaking. I heard it before that.
Okay. Hopefully we can figure it out that way. So we have one excused absence for TM Scruggs. Are there any objections to an excused absence for TM Scruggs?
Benito, object.
Yes, sir. Mr. Diaz, do you object to the absence?
Yes, based on what I said earlier another time, that if this notice did not, his notice, I haven't seen it. I don't know if it went to everybody or what, but if it doesn't go to the entire PNB, it doesn't count. Okay, I'll forward it.
To that,
I have a point of order, Mr. Chair.
Pardon me?
I have a point of order when we dispose of this.
Okay, but we're going to go ahead and have to vote on the excused absence if you object. Go ahead and take a quick vote, Mr. Secretary. A yes vote will be to excuse the absence of TM Scruggs, and a no vote will be not to excuse it. Please take the vote.
Okay. Grace Allen?
Yes.
Okay, yes, Grace Allen. Jim Brown?
No.
Okay, Brown is no. Adriana Kasanev?
Nope.
Okay, Kasanev is no. Crozier? Bill Crozier?
Yes. Yes.
Crozier is yes. Catherine Davis?
Yes, and I'm here.
Okay, Catherine Davis is here. All right. Benita Diaz?
No.
Okay, Benita is no. Ron Lagana?
I'm present, and I'm voting yes.
Okay. Ron is yes. Jan Goodman?
Yes.
Goodman is yes. Okay, Sabrina Jacobs?
Yes.
Jacob is yes. Okay. Ken Lofer?
Yes.
Lofer is yes. Okay. Robert Mark? It's not here.
No, I'm Sam here.
Roberts?
Oh, okay. I'm here.
All right.
I wrote yes.
Okay, Mark is yes. Okay, Serene Roberts?
I abstain.
Serene abstains?
I abstain.
Okay. Okay. Mansoor Sabah?
Yes.
Survives, yes, okay. Nancy Soldan?
No.
Okay, Soldan is no. Eric Steinberg is not on yet. Okay, Tanaka is yes. Temba Shibanga?
No.
Temba is no. Okay. Andrea Turner is not on yet. Mosquito, Washington?
No.
Okay, Mosquito is no. Jonathan Alexander?
Yes.
Okay, Jonathan Alexander is yes. All right. So I have 11 yes, 6 no, and 1 abstention. So, Ian is excused, so go ahead to the next item, please.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Diaz. You have a point of order?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Okay, as we all know, last week on October the 26th, the court in California ruled that Sharon Brown is to be returned as a member of her LA LSB and as a member of the BNB, and that Mansoor Sabah is to be taken off both the LSB and the BNB. The BNB is thereby ordered by the court. If this BNB doesn't want to be held in contempt of court, it would be wise to reseat Sharon Brown and unseat Mansoor Sabah. Accordingly, Mansoor's name is to be taken off the roll and substituted with that of Sharon Brown. Furthermore, I will take this opportunity to remind the members of this BNB that Article 11, I sent it to y'all a few minutes, a little while ago. Article 11, that's what it was. Article 11, Section 1, Section 2, and Section 9 of the Pacifica bylaws make crystal clear that directors will not be indemnified if they willfully violate a court order. Therefore, unless you want to risk jail time, I suggest that this PNB obey the court's order. I will remind the PNB that if...
Point of information, Mr. Chair. Point of information, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair.
He's going to go to his point of order, then I have a point of information from, it sounds like, Sabrina.
Can I finish? Mr. Chair, I have a point of order.
I know. I said complete your point of order, Mr. Diaz.
Oh, thank you. I didn't hear you. I will remind the PNB that if there's any doubt as to the accuracy of my point of order, they should review what happened to Summer Reese and Carolyn Burton in the case of Dan Siegel. I request that the Secretary provide Ms. Brown with the appropriate call-in information that Mansoor be instructed to get off this call and that his contact with the call be discontinued and that we reset until we wait, while we wait for Sharon Brown to join the call. And finally, I request that the wording of this point of order be included in the minutes of this meeting. I will type it up and send it to the Secretary after the meeting.
Okey-dokey. Type that up and send it to the secretary. We're going to go ahead and deal with your point of order, Mr. Diaz. Let me go ahead and take Ms. Jacobs' question real quickly. What's your question, Ms. Jacobs?
It's my understanding that that particular case regarding Sharon Brown is on appeal, and until it is completely resolved, that means all appeals have been resolved, that everything and everybody stays in place. Is that correct, Mr. Crozier? Can you go ahead and clear that up, or can we get a
board
meeting on the line?
I was going to state that in my ruling for Mr. Diaz's point of order is that we, the entire PNB should have received that information from our legal counsel, who will be on this call shortly, that is being appealed. Mr. Green is appealing the decision regarding Sharon Brown in her lawsuit against Pacifica, and because the filing that Ford referenced, it means that Sharon Brown not on the KPFK's LSB nor the PNB until the appeal is resolved. And that's going to be my ruling on that point of order.
Point of information.
I challenge your point of order. I challenge
okay.
Your decision.
I'll need a second on that challenge, and then I hear a point of information from a voice I couldn't recognize.
Jim Brown.
Jim Brown.
Got it.
Under whose authority... Under whose authority was the appeal made?
The state of California. In a court of law in the state of California, County of Alameda.
Yeah, Pacifica.
Okay, actually, it probably would be easiest if Mr. Crozier would go ahead and explain that real quickly. But again, people, Ford Green is going to, our legal counsel will be on the call in both open and executive session to answer any and all questions regarding this and other matters. Mr. Crozier, could you answer that?
Yeah, well, first, if you want me to, I can call Ford and see if he can go ahead and call in now. But I was the one that asked him to do it after speaking with Ford Green, and he and I both agree that it's definitely in Pacifica's interest to appeal this case, and because we need to maintain the integrity of that part of the bylaws that deals with an appointed political position. There's more details involved that he can explain if you want him to, but I can call him if you want. But please refer to the email that I forwarded it to all of you at 12:24 today Central Time. It was a note from Ford Green that states that the appeal of the injunction stays the efficacy of the injunction, and so therefore until the appeal is resolved, Sharon Brown will continue to be removed from both the KPFK LSB and the PNB. You want me to call him?
Okay. Go ahead and get him on the line. Ms. Kasanev, you challenged the ruling of the chair. Was there a second on that?
Robert.
Okay, got it. That's been seconded.
Point of information. Isn't the challenging the rule of the chair moot right now just because of what has happened? It's not your ruling that you're saying that somebody on the board or not. It's the case that is in court that has decided who's on the board and not. So
Mr. Chair,
that challenge to the
no, that's I mean, that's a good question, but in answer to your question, I would say no, that's my ruling, and it's been challenged, and they have a right to challenge it. It wouldn't necessarily change the situation, and again, Mr. Green will be on the line shortly to explain that. But if they want to challenge the ruling of the chair, they have every right, and we can, the best thing in the interest of expediting matters is just to move to a vote on it.
Mr. Chair, Benito, to respect, I think I have a right to motivate my point of order, don't I?
You do, but let me just say that it's 5:50 on the West Coast, and we kind of have a time certain there. Can you motivate it quickly?
Yeah. Number one, thank you, Mr. Chair. Number one, I sent, as I said earlier, I sent the portions of the bylaws that pertain to the PNB about a half hour ago. I suggest that everybody read them with regard to indemnification, because you will not be indemnified if you were held in contempt of court. That's one. Number two, this appeal has no validity since the PNB, as Mr. Brown pointed out, this PNB has never discussed this case at all.
much less voted to approve or authorize any such appeal. Number three, anyone who votes in favor of the chair's ruling is liable to be held in contempt of court. So, and finally, I request a roll call vote.
Hey, thank you very much. Mr. Secretary, let's go to a vote. Because we are going to be needing to move to agenda approval, and we have lots of things before the super time certain of 6 o'clock. So go ahead, Mr. Secretary.
Okay, so we're voting on the affording the looting of the chair in regards to that's the point of order made by Benito. So, Grace Allen?
Yes.
Okay, Grace is yes. David Beaton? No. Okay, Jim Brown?
I do not hold up the rooting of the chair, no.
Okay. So no. Adriana? Kessler?
No.
Kessler is no. Bill Poyser?
Yes.
Poyser?
What was that?
Kathy?
Sorry, yes. Yes. Sorry.
Okay, Claudia is yes. Kathy Davis?
Yes.
Kathy Davis is yes. Okay, Benita Diaz?
No.
Diaz is no. Okay. Rhonda Garner?
Yes.
Garner is yes. Okay, Jan Goodman?
Yes.
Goodman is yes. Sabina Jacobs? Sabina Jacobs, let me go back to you. Ken Lawfer?
Yes.
Lawfer is yes. Okay, Robert Mark?
Yes.
Mark is yes. Okay. Serene Roberts?
No.
Roberts is no. Okay. Marcel Sava?
Absolutely yes.
Sava is yes. Okay. Nancy Sorden?
No.
Soden is no. Okay, Alex Steinberg?
Yes.
Steinberg is yes. Okay, Temba Shivanda?
Absolutely, positively no.
Okay, Shivanda is no. Andrea Turner? Mesquita, Washington?
Absolutely.
Mesquita? Chair, get back to you.
No,
Jonathan Alexander?
I'm not voting.
Okay, you're not voting. All right.
All right. If people aren't speaking, can you mute your phone? Because there's a lot of background noise there.
Okay. All right. Sabrina Jacobs?
Yes.
Okay, Sabrina is yes. All right. And Mesquita, Washington?
No.
Okay, Mesquita is no. Yes, I hear you. All right. And Tanaka is yes. All right. So I have 11 yes. 7 no and 1 abstention, so that's 19 votes.
Can you do a
is that everybody?
What's that? Yes, that is everybody, because 3 people are missing. TM, okay. Andrea, and David Beaton.
So say that again, who's missing?
David Beaton, TM Scruggs, and Andrea Turner.
All right, so can you read who voted which way, please?
Okay.
No? All right. Grace Allen is yes. Jonathan is abstained. Jim Brown is no. Adriana Kessner is no. Crozier is yes. Davis is yes. Diaz is no. Garner is yes. Goodman, yes. Jacobs, yes. Lofo, yes. Mark, yes. Roberts, no. Sabah, yes. Soda, no. Steinberg, yes. Tanaka, yes. Shibanda, no. in Washington, no. And the abstention is Jonathan Alexander.
Okay, 3 minutes and 15 seconds left before time's certain. We're on agenda approval, people, with 3 sets of minutes to approve. Mr. Green, I'm sorry, Sabrina, did you say something?
Jan Goodman for the stack.
Okay, Jan, you're on the stack. Mr. Crozier, did you manage to get Mr. Green on the line?
I just got his voicemail, so he may...
Okay, no problem. Keep trying. We're on agenda approval. I assume that Jan Goodman wants to be on the stack, but I'm going to ask the question. Are there any amendments? First of all, are there any objections to the agenda as is?
Yes, I'd like to.
That'd be Jan Goodman. Go ahead, Jan. What's your objection? You want to make a change?
Yes, I'd like to add consideration of the resolution which I sent to everyone a few minutes ago relating to the affiliate elections. This is really urgent because the deadline for submitting nominations for the affiliate directors is supposed to be November 15th, according to our bylaws, but we haven't sent out letters soliciting applications yet because everybody's been so busy worrying about other things. So we need to consider and pass this resolution that extends the deadline slightly and for submitting applications so that we can get back on schedule and elect affiliate directors. And if we don't pass this now, we're really going to be up.
Objection, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Mr. Diaz.
Amend the agenda. Add 5 minutes before Mr. Ford speaks so that we can take care of this and get our affiliate elections going.
Okay, understood. Mr. Diaz, what's your, what do you have there?
Yeah, it's academic now, but the point is, this is agenda approval, not argument, anything of the sort. So I think that the only thing that is appropriate at this time is to simply state what the proposed amendment is and leave the details.
Not agree more, Mr. Diaz. Your point is very well taken.
Mr. Chair, I just letting you know that Andrea Turner is on the call.
Thank you very much, Ms. Turner. We're at about a minute left, and we have yet to bring Mr. It's time for us to bring Mr. Green on the line, actually. But we have many things.
Amend the agenda and consider this, and because once Mr. Green is on the line, we're not going to get to it, and it's going to be a disaster.
Understood. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to
second, Jan. What Jan is saying about
the
agenda.
Thank you. I should have asked for a second. So since that's been brought up and seconded, we're going to go to a vote. We're going to go to a vote
on
the agenda as amended, or... and then we would vote on the agenda approval. Make sense, Mr. Secretary?
Mr. Chair?
Yes, ma'am. Ms. Kasanev?
Mr. Point of Order?
Yes, ma'am. What's your point of order?
I'm sending the mail, but they want to... the point of order is the continuous age of Pacifica Foundation Mundo and California Corporation Code. I ask the chair to stop the violation of the Pacifica Foundation Mandor and the California Corporation Code by using a telephonic system of communication that prevents to comply with Article 6, meeting of the Board of Directors, Section 3, telephonic meeting, and the California Corporation Code, Title 1. I send the mail to everybody. Article 1, General Provision 5210 and 5215. I'm sending... they need to the secretary hold me. This is my point of order.
Yeah, Mr. Chair. Order.
Ms. Kasanev, that was in regards to the maestro?
Chair?
I can deal with your point of order, but only after we deal with the vote, then approval.
Chair?
Yes, Aki.
Mr. Paul Green is on the line.
Okay, good to know. Thank you very much for joining us. Beginning to ensure we need to approve the agenda and then move on to the point of order. But I would rule that that particular point of order at this time, I want to rule on it after the vote. Let's go ahead with the agenda.
Mr. Chair, this is Benito. I have an amendment to the agenda.
Okay, that's going to be an amendment to the amendment. Go ahead, Mr. Diaz.
Well, I don't know what you mean. I have an amendment.
I apologize. I was it's more of a personal note. I apologize.
Okay.
The way I keep track. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. My amendment. Well, can I speak? My amendment is there's some kind of echo or something, but. My amendment is to strike or take out the...
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Diaz. Anyone who's not speaking, please mute your phones to reduce the echo and anything you may be doing that's causing an echo. I would ask that you refrain from. I apologize. Go ahead, Mr. Diaz.
Yeah, thank you. So anyway, my amendment is to simply take out the minutes approval for today's meeting, because as I've already indicated and complained various times before, the secretary continues to put out these minutes the afternoon of the meeting. Now, I would like to know who has time, but between the time they get home or get free from other duties, to be able to read and go through and make notes on six sets of minutes in this case. Six sets of minutes with only hours notice. And the secretary continues to do this time and again. And the chair, you yourself, have directed him to give us more notice. In recent meetings, the chair said this.
Okay, time for that. So, Mr. Diaz, deal with that, it'll have to be dealt with after currently we're voting. We're about to vote on an amendment to the agenda. That's just another separate vote. So right now, we're just going to move to a vote. Otherwise, we're never going to get to anything at 6:04, and we have Mr. Green on the line. So we can go ahead and have these disagreements, but we're going to hash them out in quick votes this evening because we have a lot of important information that we need to get to, and we are running behind schedule.
Mr. Chair,
we're not going to lose your point of order.
The agenda.
Okay. Right.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
It's time certain. We have the guests on the line. So if we go to the Mr. Ford Green, please.
That's what I'm certain
Mr.
is.
Grace,
is
I have a point
you denying my
point of
Mr.
order?
Chair.
No, we're not denying anybody's point of order here.
Point of order.
Somebody has a point of order, and Adriana had a point of order. That's about 5 points of order. And you can see this is probably why we're in this situation that we're in. So I'm going to have to do something to solve this problem. So I'm going to say it again. We're going to go to a vote on Jan's amendment to the motion, but we're at a time certain now. So we're going to, what happens if we go to Mr. Green, we'll go to him for 30 minutes, and then we would end up back in this thing we call our meetings where we go to points of order.
Mr. Chair.
We can extend the time at that time.
Is that the curse of a time certain on us? Fine. Go, Mr. Secretary, do the two votes on the agenda, and then we're going to go to Mr. Green. Or we'll try to dispense with the points of order, but we have to iron some of this out. So go ahead with the votes.
Okay. So adding the Jan's amendment to item to the agenda. Grace Allen?
Yes.
Okay, yes, okay. Jim Brown?
get back to you. Adriana Casanes?
Jim Brown votes no.
Perfect. Okay, Bongus, no. Okay, Bill Crozier? Crozier?
Sorry, yes.
Davis?
Yes.
Okay. Davis?
Yes.
Davis is yes. Benita Diaz?
No.
Diaz is no. Ron DeGarno?
Yes.
Garno is yes. Jan Goodman?
Yes.
Goodman, yes. Sabrina Jacobs?
No.
Okay, Chris Nell. Ken Lofer?
Yes.
Lofer is yes. Robert Mark?
Yes.
Mark is yes. Roberts? Chewing Roberts? Okay. Mansour Sabat?
What is the motion?
This is, this is adding item that Jan brought up to the agenda about the affiliates.
Regarding the affiliates election.
Okay, I'm asking the secretary. I pass.
Okay, you pass. All right, Mansour Sabat?
Yes.
So it's yes.
Yes.
Nancy Sullivan? All right, Alex Sandberg? Okay, Tanaka is yes. Tenbush Thunder? Andrea Turner? Mosquito Washington?
No.
Okay, Mosquito is on. Jonathan Alexander?
No.
Okay, Alexander is no. Adriana Kasanev?
No.
Kasanev is no. All right. Nancy Sullivan?
No.
What's that?
No.
Sullivan is no. Okay. Serene Roberts?
You know, this failure happens every year. I abstain.
Okay, you're saying. All right. Alex Steinberg?
Yes.
Steinberg is yes. Tamish Vanda? Timber? All right. Andrea Turner? Okay, Andrea Turner, I'm not getting. All right. So far we have so I have 10 yes, 7 no, 1 abstention, and 2 votes I couldn't carry. Tenbo Shibanda and Andrea Turner. Okay, let's go to the agenda approval.
Good to talk, Tenbo.
Hey, Sharon?
Wait, I'm sorry. Tenbo, are you there?
Yeah,
I'm here.
What's your vote,
Tenbo? Yeah, I vote no.
Okay, so it's 10 yes, 8 no, and 1 abstention. And Andrea Turner, I couldn't get. All right, agenda approval. Grace Allen?
Point of information. Point of information. This is Catherine. Are we going to vote on putting off the minutes to the next meeting?
We're just
after Mr. Beamer's on the line. Go that vote, Aki, because we're running out of time. In the future, it would be great if people could bring their additions to the agenda less than a minute before showtime. And I like having a rundown ready for your radio show.
Yeah, what are you voting on, Jonathan?
Yeah, voting on whether or not to dispense with the minute, which would move us to items 5 and 6 immediately. So a yes vote.
Is there any objection?
Well, Mr. Chair, I don't understand what's going on with Benito.
I'll explain it quickly. Ms. Benito, you brought up, you wanted to amend the agenda by foregoing of the minutes because of problems that you have with the minutes. I have a concern or two about the internet.
I didn't have any problem. The reason being,
I don't misunderstand. We're voting on that right now.
Thank you. Good show today.
Okay, you got it? We're a yes vote. It will be to move a minute's approval to the following meeting, to, you know, next week's meeting. And a no vote means they'll stay on the agenda for tonight. Mr. Secretary, if you would.
Okay, Grace Allen?
Yes.
Okay. Jim Brown?
Objections.
Adriana Castanets?
Yes.
Bill Closure? Bill Closure?
Sorry, yes.
Catherine Davis?
Yes, yes.
Benito Diaz?
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. From the Ghana?
Yes.
Yes. Jen Goodman?
Why don't you ask if there's any objections? I don't think there will be an idea.
Yeah. Any objection?
Objections to
okay.
What?
I hear no objections to the removal of the minutes from this agenda. I hear no objections. Are there any objections? None. Okay, so we're now on Jan Goodman's item of the affiliate situation. It's a delay. Are there any objections to that?
I object. Raina.
And now we'll have to vote on it. I have a point of information, real quickly.
Would I like my phone to
and this is for the maker of the motion or for anybody who can answer this question. Is this, just a moment, please. As a question, isn't it possible that this particular thing could be voted on by email with the unanimous consent? Can someone answer that question?
But maybe we won't have unanimous consent. Excuse me. May I answer the question?
Before you
not forgetting Adriana. You're right. Somebody... It would not be, you know, but if there was a unanimous consent, we'd go through. Just trying to save time and actually get the business that we need to conduct as opposed to whatever. Adriana, what's your point?
Chair, we're out of time for this item, please.
What item?
We're out of agenda approval.
Right. I know. No, we're done with agenda approval. We moved on to the item, affiliates item. And we had 5 minutes for that. I was just ticking up. Okay. And I hear a point of order from Ms. Kazanev.
I already sent it before, sir.
Oh, right. So that's the point of order in regards to
using my
the telephonic meetings. Thank you very much, and I apologize for my oversight. Okay, so with this point of order, especially at this time, your objections are duly noted, Ms. Kazanev, and I would ask that they would be incorporated into the minutes. One of the things I wanted to check the previous minutes on there of all of these different incorporations, actually. But at this time, I'll of course rule that we continue to use Maestro. But I would also rule that we forego the vote in the interest of time because we take the vote almost weekly or at least at every meeting, and the vote doesn't actually change. And I don't believe that it would change at this time. And so it does fall under the category of dilatory motions, although I'm not saying that's what you're doing at this time. It just does delay things when we vote on the same things over and over with the exact same outcome.
Chair,
every time
Chair.
Yes.
We have a time setting of 6 o'clock for Paul Green. Would you, does Paul Green introduce himself?
Point of order. Can we please vote on? Just take a vote on Jan's. Motion, because otherwise we'll be in violation of the bylaws, which I'm sure Ford Green would not want.
Okay,
please,
so we're going to vote on Jan's.
I have
information. Grace,
hold on, just a moment. Order. I'll decide which direction
point
we go. Hold on. I'm going to decide which direction we go.
I just wanted to let you know
I was actually dealing with Ms. Kazanev's point of order, and that was my ruling on that. Ms. Kazanev, even though we're including it into the minutes, did you wish to challenge my ruling?
Let me go back.
I want that being included in the minutes.
What?
She says she wanted to be included in the minutes. Wanted it added to the minutes.
Okay. Good. We'll do.
Okay, and now back to Jan's motion. We can do a super quick vote on this because I only heard one objection. So we will have to go to a vote on it. Otherwise, we would just...
Yeah, point of information.
Okay. I have a point of order, Jonathan.
We're about to go to a vote on whether or not, or to pass Jan's motion.
Mr. Chair,
sorry, Mr.
Benito, you have a question.
Cut off.
Thank you.
Back online, Andrea.
Yeah. Somebody
I'm
called.
Sorry.
Hi, yeah. Hey, Andrea.
I'm online now.
Yes, okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Mr. Chair. Yeah, thank you. My request for information is, can somebody or Ms. Goodman please explain the motion?
Yes, I'll explain it.
Can you please be brief, Ms. Goodman?
I will be very brief.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry, what's the point of order with regard to the motion?
Okay.
The motion.
What's your point of order?
The motion is attempting to change bylaw language by making a motion. That's not how our bylaws can be amended.
Are you saying that the language of the bylaw, I'm sorry, that the language of the motion attempts to change bylaw language?
Yes, the deadline in the bylaws is November 15th and has been for a number of years, and that has been pointed out to the affiliate director and the affiliate task force and the affiliate committee. That section of the bylaws has not changed. So she cannot simply add time to a bylaw fixed date by making a motion. She cannot amend the bylaws by bringing a motion to the body.
That sounds like an argument against the motion. Dan, go ahead, explain the motion, address that, and we're going to get to a vote real quickly because we have Mr. Green on the line.
Okay, so the bylaws state that the deadline for submitting candidates to candidates' nomination papers to the PNB is November 15th. That is a week away from today, and the affiliates task force or committee has not met this year because they haven't met. And I noticed that this is a problem, that we have to get the nominations. We have to deal with it. If we had forgotten until another week, then we would be in even worse shape. So what this motion does is to change the deadline for this year so that we can actually get some, send out letters and solicit nominations, and it gives a different timeline for this, you know, for us to follow so that we can at least have an election on December 21st and try to get some actual nominations. I mean, if we don't do it, we haven't asked anybody to send these letters out. So the gist of the resolution is to change for this year only to change the deadline from
timeline. I think we get the gist of it, Jan.
The timeline. It's a change of
timeline.
Okay.
But here's what's going to happen. After Aki takes this vote, I'm not going to take any more points of information or points of order. We will go directly to Mr. Green. So, Aki, you're going to take the vote.
You're going to
give the
tally
of
point of order.
Because we are at a time certain, we need to move on. And we have a lot of stuff to do.
There was an incorrect
and I will say all my coverage I have until 2 a.m. on the West Coast tonight, people. Until 2 a.m. So it will be our best
point of order. Trying to correct Jan's statement.
I'm sorry? Who is that?
I'm trying to correct Jan's statement. She said it was a week away. It's a week. It's 2 weeks minus one day away.
November 15th.
But we have to send out a letter.
I'm sorry, Nancy. It's state the date.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
She's
said it was a week away. It's two weeks minus one day. That's all I wanted to make people aware, okay? That's all.
I'm sorry. She's correct. I just wanted to say, if we send out a letter in, you know, within 5 business days, that'll be a week away. I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Ahead of myself.
Okay,
thank you, Nancy.
Go to the vote.
Benito.
No, I'm sorry. We're going to have to go to the vote.
Mr. Chair, how can we vote? We don't understand what's happening here.
We're voting on Jan Goodman's motion, which she sent to you in writing. We all have it in writing.
Mr. Chair, I have a request for information so I can vote intelligently.
What is your question?
Thank you. Now, Ms. Roberts made a point of order a few minutes ago. She's saying that the bylaws specifically state deadline November 15th. So I think the proper question would be that is a question for Ms. Goodman to respond to. How can you change a deadline that is stipulated in the bylaws?
It's not going to help anything for Ms. Goodman to give another answer to the question over again. It's an obvious disagreement. Ms. Roberts, that was more of an argument as is not a good motion, which is why we're going to go and vote on it, and we are really out of time. I guess now on a time certain means just press pause and go directly to Mr. Green, and this is why after this vote we're just going to go to him, and I apologize for taking all the points of order hints. Mr. Secretary, begin taking
Jonathan,
the vote.
You mentioned my name. I didn't hear the response.
Oh, okay. So, great.
It was in a good way, I promise you.
Yes.
I'm just explaining what happened.
Yes.
Okay, but
anyway,
we don't have time for this. The vote.
Okay, Grace Allen.
Yes.
Grace. Breaking the bylaws.
Okay. Yes. Can you hear me?
Jim
I said
Brown.
Yes.
Jim Brown. Okay. Adriana Castanez.
Jim
Forger.
Brown.
Oh. Okay.
Bill votes
yes. Okay. Bill Forger.
Brown. Jim Brown
yes.
votes
Brown
no.
Brown votes
I do not like the.
Yeah, Brown votes no. Bill Crozier?
Oh.
Okay,
yes.
Kathryn Davis? Okay, Crozier's yes. Kathryn Davis?
Yes.
Davis is yes. Benita Diaz?
No.
No, okay. Rhonda Garner?
Yes.
Garner is yes. Jan Goodman?
Yes.
Goodman is yes. Sabrina Jacobs?
Pass.
Good luck. Pass. All right. Ken Loeffler?
Yes.
Loeffler is yes. Robert Mark? Okay. Good luck to you. Shereen Roberts?
We cannot amend the bylaws by a motion.
Okay. All right. Mansoor Sabah?
Yes.
Sabah is yes. Nancy Soldin?
No.
Golden is no. Alex Steinberg?
Yes.
Okay. Steinberg is yes. Tanaka is yes. Tenba? Shibanda?
No.
No? Okay. Andrea Turner?
No.
Okay. Turner is no. Mesquita?
No.
Mesquita is no. Jonathan? Alexander?
Not voting.
Okay, abstain, all right. Adriana, Kessinev? Adriana?
I say no already.
Okay, Adriana is no. And Sabrina, you passed?
Yes.
Okay, Sabrina is yes. Serene, you sort of made comment. Would you really want to vote?
We cannot amend the bylaws by bringing a motion.
Okay, so you're gonna basically abstain
already.
No, I'm.
Okay, no. All right.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Okay, so 10 yes,
8 no, 2 abstention, I mean 1 abstention, and so we'll go to Mr. Green. He had 2 minutes for his speech.
Question passed. All right. Thank you, Mr. Green. Please introduce yourself and proceed. I apologize for the delay.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
No.
Did the secretary say 2 minutes?
No, I was joking.
He didn't. He
I'm
said 10 minutes.
To the chair. I'm sorry?
I believe he said 10 minutes. Aki, what did you say?
Well,
I said to yield to Mr. Green. I didn't know you had the floor.
He has 30 minutes.
Jonathan, okay, thank you. So we're moving the executive session to 10 o'clock. I mean, we have to.
Yeah, we're
going to
start right now with Mr. Green. No further questions. Here, let me just do it this way because I don't have time for this. We have no further questions. Mr. Green, introduce yourself. No one else has the floor till I say so.
Okay. My name is Ford Green. Hi, everybody. And I am available to answer your questions. I do not have any sort of speech to make.
There is Sam on the back.
Sabrina for the stack. Hold on. You're all shouting your names onto the stack, and I didn't have my pin ready. I heard Sam, then Jan, then Serene. I'm telling you what I can remember real quickly. And Jan, Serene, next.
Serena for the stack.
This is why we have nice things. People, one at a time. I have Sam, I have Dan, I have Serene, and I have Sabrina. And four is enough for now. When they're done, we'll pick up some more names. Go ahead, Sam.
Thank you, and I thank you very much, Mr. Green, for coming in tonight. Your letter is really very timely, because we are dealing with some very pressing issues, and your advice and your insight will be very helpful. So, because this is a public meeting, so I will be very discreet in my comments, but I will just restate whatever is publicly known. And I have been on the National Finance Committee meetings and on the PNB. So it is pretty widely known that we are delinquent in our audits. And it is both the financial audits and the retirement plan audits. And there are several other deficiencies and shortcomings in our governance, in our financial reporting, and in the financial management. So the question that I have from you is, the PNB is a kind of a collective body. It's a faceless body. What is the separation that we draw in the individual responsibility, the fiduciary responsibility of individuals in conducting the operations or in displaying the urgency or in taking up the matters which are important for the foundation, and not taking responsibility or shirking away from their responsibility. So I would like to have if you can comment on that, separation between the individual responsibility and the collective responsibility, and how can we identify that? Thank you.
Okay, that's a big question. And I don't know. I mean, I'm basically going to repeat that what was in my letter yesterday. So broadly speaking, what the fiduciary responsibilities are of each board member is number one, you have to be open. Number two, you have to be honest. Number three, you have to do your best. And number four, and then this is probably the most important, is where there is the greatest opportunity for conflict and argument, you've got to do what's best for the organization as a whole while respecting the rights of the persons who are in the minority point of view. And so here, these telephone calls are really difficult. In any side, like somebody's rattling papers in the background, and so I'm trying to listen, and I'm trying
everyone,
to
everyone, please mute
really
your
difficult.
Phone.
So if you just would like not make extraneous noise, it would really help. So here, based on what I know and what I understand and what's publicly available, and I'm trying to be cognizant of the information that's come to me that was disclosed in closed session versus what's generally available. But what I would really urge the board members to do, everybody loves what Pacifica stands for and what Pacifica does. You wouldn't spend this amount of time and have to go through it can't be pleasant for anybody the way these meetings go. It would be nice if they weren't so rough, but they are the way that they are. And so the long range, in my view, the long range issue is coming up with a financial plan and a debt repayment plan that will be stable for the long term, and not panic. And because of the Empire State judgment and the responsibilities that are attendant to that, that will be forthcoming in the near future. But not panic in the face of that, and lose sight of what action is going to be best for Pacifica in the long haul. And what that seems to be to me would be to take care of the $8 million worth of debt, much of which is going to come due in the next 6 months or so, so that then Pacifica, rather than scrambling around trying to spending a lot of time trying to survive and having fires all over the place that take everybody's attention and are traumatizing and dramatic and a big pain in the hindquarters, can really focus on what it needs to do now, because there's no time in American history, in my opinion, that's more important than the calls for Pacifica's leadership, Pacifica's reporting, and Pacifica's setting of values that exists now. So I don't know if that really answers your question, but it's the survival of Pacifica. And so what I would urge everybody to do, and as hard as it is not to make ad hominem attacks on, or not to go after the character of the people that you disagree with, to really listen to the different positions that are articulated, and then you're going to have to vote and make a decision about what is in the best long-term interest of the organization for its survival. Because if the finances are not addressed adequately, there won't be any Pacifica around. And so the finances, you guys have a lot better grasp on what the history of all of this stuff is than I do, because I'm a relative newcomer. I'm still playing catch up. I think I'm catching up pretty fast. There's been a lot of problems in terms of basic accountability that's occurred in the past that's put, for example, Pacifica's tax exemption at risk. And I'll just add one more thing. I'm a graduate of the New College School of Law in San Francisco, which was the first public interest law school in the country. And like Pacifica, New College was a lefty organization, and the people that ran it were not interested very much in dealing with financial issues and management accountability issues. And ultimately, because of that, it went under. And that's a hugely valuable resource that's no longer available for all kinds of people to be able to become lawyers that otherwise wouldn't have a chance. And the Pacifica organization now, I think, is in a similar position, and I would hate to see it have a similar fate.
Thank you very much, Mr. Green. Next in the stack is Jan Goodman, and I'm going to put myself on the stack after Sabrina. Go ahead, Jan.
Jonathan.
Got it.
Okay.
I've asked at least four times to be put on the list.
I got you. Listen, me, and who was that after Benito?
Catherine,
slowly. Okay, anybody else besides Catherine? Okay, go ahead, Jan.
Grace had put her name on the list before.
Grace, got you. Go ahead, Jan.
Yes, hello, Mr. Green.
Hi, Jan.
Hello. So you talked quite a bit about fiduciary duty and becoming liable for not carrying out one's fiduciary duty. My research in the past has indicated that when one sits on a nonprofit board, the bar for like how bad you have to become personally liable is pretty high. And I'm wondering if you can address, you know, like how much badness you would have to do on a nonprofit board to become personally, financially liable for not carrying out one's fiduciary duty, and also to address kind of in that context, taking out a bridge loan secured by real estate pending the sale of, for instance, a Nakapon building, which is not a station, it's a half-empty building, to pay down part of a bridge loan so that a larger loan could be taken out to negotiate with the Empire State Building, so, because cash is king, be able to give them a large chunk of money, including maybe prepayment of future lease payments. And
I'm going to remind everyone that we're in open session.
Oh,
still. Still.
Anyway, how high is that bar before a nonprofit board of director might become personally liable?
I think maybe we can address the
real estate thing in closed session.
Starting at the rear, I'm not going to give opinions on something that on a question that involves all kinds of factual assumptions and that goes on for 30 or 45 seconds. It's not fair. It's too difficult, and I don't want to get in arguments about what the underlying facts are or aren't. So, in the future, if you could break your question down rather than incorporating all kinds of factual assumptions in it. With respect to your legal question, if a board member is on notice as to a particular legal requirement, like a requirement to pay taxes, for example, or a requirement to pay employees or to take out withholding, and willfully ignores that obligation, then I would say at that point, when there's a willful ignorance or a deliberate blowing it off, deliberate not paying attention to a particular obligation, that's when a board member can become at risk. California Corporations Code, when it comes to the obligations of directors who sit on corporate boards doesn't make a lot of distinctions between nonprofit corporations and for-profit corporations. It might cut a little bit of slack to a nonprofit corporation, but when it comes down to satisfying legal obligations, the bottom line is that you have to do it.
Absolutely. Okay. Good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Next on the stack is Serene Roberts.
Okay, thanks. Thank you, Mr. Ford. I called several months ago with regard to...
Hold on, Serene. Serene, I'm not hearing you.
Can you
hear me?
Again, if
you don't have the floor, mute your phone, please.
I didn't hear what you said, John.
Now you're better.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Hi, Serene.
Hi, how are you? I recall your speaking with us some months ago with regard to the Sharon Brown case, and I know that last Thursday a judge ruled that she was to be reinstated to the LSB and the PNB, and I do not believe that the judge added with all deliberate speed, so I expected she would have been on last week's call. The chair ruled earlier this evening that she was not going to be allowed to be on this call either, and I was wondering whether you were aware that we've been through this battle as Pacifica with other people who were serving in consultative or advisory capacities before, and that the judge ruled, actually the secretary and board chair at the time were about to do some jail time for contempt of court, and I think we're flirting. I think we've committed contempt of court by not seating Sharon. So I'd like to hear what your view is on that, but also I would like to know under whose authority you are appealing the case, since the board has not received a report or had a discussion or taken a vote to that effect.
Okay, so you have about four questions in there, and so let me start with the most recent one. So on the direction of the executive director, Bill Crozier, I filed a notice of appeal yesterday. Because Judge Spain's ruling from last Thursday requires Pacifica to take affirmative action to comply with it and changes the status quo, a notice of appeal stays the efficacy of the ruling that's being appealed. So the reinstatement of Sharon Brown on the PNB and the removal of Mansour Sabbagh is stayed until the Court of Appeal makes a decision with respect to that. As to previous litigation, I'm aware of the Dan Siegel situation and have reviewed in detail the oral arguments that were presented pro and con with respect to that. I don't think that controls this case. And with respect to your comment regarding on the cusp of doing jail time, I have no idea what you're talking about, so I can't really respond to that. Did that get all your questions? Hold on. One at a time, okay? Did that get all of your questions? I'm not sure if I got them all or not.
Well, with regard to the Dan Siegel case and the jail time, the judge in that Dan Siegel or previous case ruled that then interim executive director, board chair Summer Reese, and the secretary Carolyn Burden had acted in contempt of court in denying Laura and Dan the opportunity to serve as they had been elected. And
right, I understand that. But the difference between, you said you didn't understand my reference.
Uh-huh.
Oh no! Now that you've clarified it, I do. The difference between that situation and this is in the Siegel situation, that the decision of the judge was not appealed, and so there was no stay. And if the judge ordered that Siegel then be reinstated and that order was not respected, then yes, that would constitute a violation of a court order and constitute what's called indirect contempt and subject the alleged contemnor to jail time and or a fine. The jail time would not exceed 5 days and the fine would not exceed $1,000.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much.
Was with regard to, I'm sorry, Jonathan?
Yes.
Hello? Okay, I have another very quick question for Mr. Ford.
Point of order. There is
sorry, we only have limited time for each person, and we have to go on the stack. If there's time in this session to ask him a question, I can put you back on the stack. Who's next? Sabrina Jacobs.
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking our questions, Mr. Green. Really quickly, I want to turn all of the director's attention to the letter that Mr. Green sent regarding our fiduciary duties and to look at that particular section in his letter. As it states, the law imposes what it calls fiduciary duties on directors. Fiduciary duties include the duty of care, which includes an obligation of due inquiry, the duty of loyalty, and the duty to comply with competent business standards. My question to you, Mr. Green, is what would be the repercussions for a director to just negate their fiduciary duty? Like, what could happen to us in a court of law, or will we be... Would it be a misdemeanor? Would it be a felony? Would it depend on what happened? Is this too broad a question?
No, it's not. The repercussions would be civil. There aren't any criminal repercussions. So unless in certain circumstances there are legal requirements that you do something, like I indicated earlier, affirmatively where the law requires you to do something and you just deliberately blew it off or deliberately ignored it, then it would be misdemeanor liability, and I think the maximum penalty would be 6 months and $1,000 fine.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that definitely answers my question. I have another question. I'd like to call for the orders of the day, too, Mr. Chair, so that we can move to closed session, because I have a question for Mr. Green that needs to be
point of order.
Session. I've had a few more people to stack. I need to ask Aki, however, Mr. Secretary, where are we at on time for this item? I believe we had...
We allocated 30 minutes, so we had 10 more minutes.
Are you saying, I'm sorry, Commissioner, should we have 10 more minutes?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're going to go ahead and finish up the stack. Because I don't think orders of the day applies when there's just one item and there's no voting. I'm next on the stack. But my question is actually probably better left for executive session. So why don't we go to the person after me? And that is Benito Diaz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jonathan, I think I was on the stack before.
Mr. Green.
Who is that?
What?
I'm sorry.
Hold on. You sound like I'm getting that underwater sound, so try to be more clear, please.
Okay.
Is that referring to me?
There we go. Yeah, now you're better.
Oh, okay. All right, well, Mr. Green, my question is related to that of Ms. Roberts a little while ago. I'm really more than puzzled. I just don't understand your response to Ms. Roberts a little earlier when she asked, upon what authority have you... and Mr. Crozier filed this appeal in the case of Sharon Brown when this board, this PMP, has never discussed this case at all, much less authorized any kind of appeal. So given that it is the PMB that is the final authority in this and any other nonprofit, upon what authority have you and Mr. Crozier filed this appeal?
Well, I cannot speak for Mr. Crozier, and with respect to me, I take my marching orders from him. And there's a California Professional Rule of Responsibility 3-600 that says that I represent the organization acting through its highest authorized officer or employee, body, or constituent overseeing the particular engagement. So with respect to your other questions, I can't answer those. I don't know what your, meaning the PNB's, internal processes are with respect to litigation decisions. But that's my answer insofar as I'm concerned.
Okay, well, I just want you to know that there has been no authorization for such an appeal to be filed.
Okay. Was there an authorization to respond to the lawsuit?
I have no idea. This DMV has never discussed this case. This is my basic point. We have never gotten any kind of reports. We have no IED reports or anything and nothing on this case. Much less have we authorized Mr. Crozier or anyone else to file an appeal. We didn't even authorize representing Pacifica in this case, now that you bring it up.
No, I'm really not sure what your internal authorization processes are, so I'm just not able to respond to your point, but I hear you.
Okay. Perhaps at a different time, Mr. Crozier could respond to that, but right now we're in a Q&A with Mr. Green.
Who is going to pay Mr. Green? Mr. Crozier.
Mr. Crozier, do you want to give a brief response to that?
Point of order.
Can you go by the statute?
Point of order.
Ms. Davis, you have a point of order?
Yes, I do. We have a short amount of time and a stack, and you already said that you would go to the stack and put people on at the end. I would request that you follow through so that we don't run out of time before everyone who has already asked.
Yeah, and actually perhaps it's best if Mr. Crozier were to answer that question in closed session anyway. Again, it's not in order at this time because we're in a Q&A with Mr. Green. And Mr. Green answered the question to the best of his ability. Ms. Davis, you're next on the stack.
Thank you. Thank you. Hello, Mr. Green. So nice to talk to you. I read your letter very carefully more than once, and my greatest concern was how one would decide what their fiscal responsibility might be. So as we have gone through the course of dealing with this problem, we've had at least two lawyers, maybe more, advise us not to take certain actions immediately with regard to, I don't know if I could say it in open session, but bankruptcy. And we've also had a consultant who told us that the best course of action would be to evaluate all of the Pacifica assets, including all of the stations, all of the properties, and be able to look at all of the options to come to a course of action. So from my perspective, that's a reasonable course of action. and would constitute fiscal responsibility to look at all of Pacifica as a whole and to actually develop a financial plan that would look at a very real look at the problems that are systemic and devise a plan. So from my perspective, that is fiscally sound way to go. And my concern is that your letters seem to be pushing in the direction that has been authored or is favored by the executive staff. I'm not saying that it's wrong, but I'm asking if fiscal responsibility is fiscal responsibility, not just because you disagree, you would be deemed as irresponsible. So I'm looking for an avenue that we could actually look at the whole picture and everyone can play a role in the discussion and not feel that threatened by doing what I consider to be fiscally responsible by your letter.
If my letter made you feel threatened, that was not my intent, and I apologize for that. I agree with your comments regarding the importance, and it's not, that's actually too mild a word, the imperative of assessing the overall Pacifica position financially, and overall five stations, and then looking at what the options are to address the existing and prospective both debt and the audits so as to maintain its tax-exempt status, and then coming to a decision on how to generate the money to be able to pay the debt that's necessary and have that be part of an explicit, long-range, thought-through plan that's not the result of fear, and that's not the result of panic. And whatever those means are that are arrived at, whether there have been two or three different options that have been floated out there, any one of them, in the ultimate analysis, I agree with you. Just because you disagree with somebody else's position doesn't mean that they're failing to comply with their fiduciary duties. What the fiduciary duty requires is that you be reasonable, that you use good faith, and that you do your best, and that you operate in the manner that you see is in the best long-range interests of the organization. And reasonable minds can differ on many things, so just because there's a difference of opinion doesn't mean that one side has failed to discharge their fiduciary duty. It just means that there's a difference of opinion.
Thank you.
Jonathan, this is Aki. Just
yes.
Aki, the timekeeper. We sort of exhausted the time allocated for, for Green in the open session. And we should go into the closed session, so I make a motion that we go to a closed session and have Mr. Green continue the Q&A in the closed session, and we proceed to the closed session after Mr. Green's Q&A in the closed session.
Thank you, Aki. Do I hear a second?
A second.
Okay, are there any objections?
I object.
Can you not hear point of information?
Okay, well, I hear a point of information from Serene, but first I heard an objection. Who objected?
Alex Steinberg objects.
Okay, Alex Steinberg objects. Serene, what is your question?
Okay. So the fact that he's counsel doesn't mean that everything people who are on the stack need to ask is executive session material. So I want to be, are you telling people they can only ask their executive session material in executive session?
Well, that never changes. I'm not sure I follow you. I didn't say that's not. Are you asking me if that's what Aki said? No, he's saying that it's time to go to executive session.
I move to extend the open session for those members who have open session questions. And I think maybe there were like two or three more people on the stack. So I would extend.
I showed two people, Alex and Grace, on the stack. That will require a two-thirds vote to extend time.
I move to extend my 6 minutes.
Second.
But Aki's motion was on the floor for that.
Right.
Technically speaking, Aki's motion was a motion to adjourn.
No, it wasn't actually. My motion was basically to make sure that Mr. Forgreen continues as we transition to the closed session. It doesn't matter what time, but so that he doesn't have to go on and off. So we can go
in that case. In that case, since we have objections, let's just move right to a vote. 6 minutes. Did you say, Serene?
Wait a minute.
6 minutes.
Could I say?
This is Grace. I have a substitute motion. I relinquish my time and.
Go ahead, Grace. What's your substitute?
I relinquish my time in favor of just allowing Alex and only Alex to ask a question, and then right after that to go to closed session.
Which doesn't sound like you're changing 6 minutes. It's just removing yourself from the stack.
Okay. So I make it. 3 minutes.
Hold on, Serene.
That's
go ahead.
A substitute motion. 3 minutes.
Serene, is that an acceptable amendment to your motion?
Grace just talked over me and repeated what I said. I said
I'm asking you to repeat what you said while she's not talking over you.
I said I amended my motion to 3 minutes since there's only one speaker. 3 minutes. That's what I said.
Okay, good. We're in agreement. Are there any objections to this? Hearing none. Mr. Steinberg, you have the floor. Ask your question of Mr. Green.
Mr. Green, you are aware that I responded to your letter, I hope.
Yes.
And you are probably then aware that I believe your letter was overstepping your role as Pacifica's counsel, since you apparently are advising the directors in that letter to adopt a particular business plan over several alternative business plans. And you seem to be implying that if we do not adopt this one particular business plan, that we are somehow in violation of our fiduciary responsibilities. And I believe you really are stepping outside your jurisdiction as a legal counsel when you are trying to counsel us on the best possible financial solution to our situation. I'm not going to get into the details because that's closed session material, but I think in general that's the gist of your letter, and my response tried to deal with the various assumptions and presumptions in your letter and why I feel it was misplaced. Comment, please.
This is similar to a comment or question that was made earlier. And no, it's not my place to say that a particular path, if not taken, would be an abrogation of a fiduciary responsibility. I tried to lay the issues out as clearly as I could and maintain a position short of advocating for any particular resolution.
Well,
if you feel like I didn't properly do that, then I have to take that into consideration, and I understand
your letter was definitely coming down on one particular side of a discussion that we're having, and I think that side is mistaken. But even if I didn't think that side was mistaken, I don't believe it's the responsibility of our legal counsel to give us advice on alternative financial solutions.
Fair enough.
All right. Thank you very much. We're going to move to closed session. I'm going to say no one disconnect your phone. Stay on the line. But I am going to have to disconnect my phone for just a moment and call back in. But that's all the time that we'll take. And then we'll be in executive session. So, streamer, you may stop streaming. Thank you very much. This meeting is adjourned.